Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf nun hey. We are on Nadalam at Beis, and the discussion we've been having over the started the sixth perek of the Masechta just yesterday, and we're going to be continuing from where we left off. So thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lulun Lazer Kanishma Solosman Zoltzman. The Mishnah is giving us a definition of Bia. It's a mature discussion the Gemara is about to have. We're going to have a mature discussion regarding what exactly is the precise definition of Bia, because as we learned back in the Mishnah yesterday, for the mitzvah of Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum is accomplished through Bia. Meaning whatever defines itself as Bia is going to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. You don't need Kavana when it comes to the mitzvah. In general, you do need Kavanos, which the Gemara doesn't really discuss, which I think is a fair, it's a very reasonable question. In general, if you do need Kavana, so why by the mitzvah of Yibum do you not need Kavana? Okay. Maybe the answer lies somewhere in the world of Zika. But either way, the Mishnah says that you don't need the mitzvah, you don't need kavana when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum. Yeah. So therefore, just as long you do need kavana for an act of bia, but that's it. That's the extent of the kavana that you need. So that means then that in any of the examples that we learned yesterday, where he's conscious, he's not conscious, she's not conscious, sleeping is debatable. Actually, it seems pretty clear from yesterday's Gemara that sleeping is not a kiyum ha-mitzvah, if he were sleeping or if she were sleeping. But if he was a mazed meaning that that he was not interested in the mitzvah, but he was just interested in the act of being in the znus of the matter. So or if he was an ones or if she was an ones. So in any one of those circumstances, the mitzvah of Yibum has been accomplished. And we learned a brisa, Rabbi Chiya, yesterday. Rabbi Chiya said it could be even more extreme than we just described. It could be that both of them are going to be anusim. Both of them were forced into a position of Bia. So still, even him and her, and the Gemara yesterday constructed a case, a scenario in which that would be. But still, the mitzvah of Bia, the mitzvah of Yibum has accomplished, the Bia has been accomplished, and the mitzvah of Yibum has been accomplished. Okay, yeah.
The question, all this sort of maybe acceptable, like Lord the Dagba, is in like taking that root of an estrus, right? If you don't have a kavana, but it's stolen, it's a true avera, so why isn't it acceptable?
It's not an avera.
No, but when somebody is taking a stolen root of
an estrus, that's an avera.
That's avera, but the mitzvah doesn't count, does it?
The mitzvah, presumably no.
So it's the same thing. Lord Arkan is also Avera. Ask me
after daf. I will give you an off-air response to your question.
I tell them if the woman is in a shakadah, the kohen can marry her, right? She's still the kohen.
Again, ask me. Let me repeat. I'm gonna ask me afterwards. I'll give you.
I'm answering.
Oh, okay, good. Even better. Okay.
Right?
It absolutely is.
So
okay.
Why does it count for the mitzvah?
I'm trying to avoid. I'm not being clear enough. Okay. Let's go on. And then in terms of the actual definition of bia, so it's a two-part discussion. We're going to have one part today and one part tomorrow. You know, I don't tape the Shabbos topim, and I guess tomorrow I'm going to be happy that we don't tape the Shabbos topim. Because, again, all this is, in other words, Torah. It's all part of the corpus of Torah, and we need to, it's a little bit indelicate, but we need to know. Meaning, it's part of Limud HaTorah, it's a mitzvah, to learn exactly what the definitions of B are. So today we're going to have a discussion, tomorrow we're going to have an even more detailed discussion. So can either listen to Lord Jonathan Sacks tomorrow during Shal Shittas, or you can learn about the definition of the very definition of Bia. But anyway, correct. I should advertise. Trust me. Just the opposite. I should not advertise, and it'll be a self-selecting crowd. Anyway, leave it at that. Okay. What do we know? The Torah mentions a couple of times that. Ha'ara, hey, ayin, resh, hey. So that is we're going to just right now, for lack of a better term, and also because I know the Gemara tomorrow is going to discuss it, it's partial penetration. And the Mishnah, the Pasuk in the Torah says that Ha'ara is in fact considered Bia. Now, the Torah doesn't say regarding every one of the arayos. We know the Torah mentions the arayos twice, once in Parshas Achrimos, and again a second time in Parshas Kedoshim. So we know that the Torah doesn't mention Ha'ara by every one of the arayos. In fact, it only mentions it by very, very few of them. Nevertheless, Ha'ara is in fact going to be considered to qualify as Bia. It qualifies as Bia for all the Averos. And we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, it also qualifies for Bia in terms of the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. How do we know that Ha'ara applies for all the Arayos in the Torah, if it's not mentioned by every one of them? So there's a long answer, there's a short answer. Let me do the short answer. Short answer is short. And it's also the right one. The short answer of how we know that it applies to all the arayos in the Torah is because we go to the Achrimos. The Torah lists all the arayos in the Torah, and then at the conclusion of the list, the Torah then goes on to say, "Ushmarta masem eschukosai." Nope. Next, pasuk chav zayin. Kes kol atoivos ha'el asu anshei haaretz ashelif nechem v'titzah me'aretz. All these toivos, so all these abominations. So this is how the Canaanites behaved. And if you behave in this way, the land is going to vomit you out, just like it did with the previous nations. Anyone who does any of these toivos, so you're going to receive kares. So what the Torah does over here in this last pasuk chavtes of Perek Yud Ches is it lumps everything together, otherwise known as a hekesh. It lumps everything together, so it tells me that whatever we qualified as a rule for one of the arayos is going to be true by all the arayos. Since the Torah mentions by nida, right? Remember we spoke this out yesterday. Since the Torah mentions by the erva of nida that ha'ara is in fact considered bia. So it's going to be true not only by Nida, but it'll be true by all the arayos that are mentioned in Parshas Achrimos. Very good. Adkan. That's the short answer. That is what we finished with yesterday, a hekesh. The hekesh of, from this point forward, going forward, we'll also call it a hekesh of Rav Yonah, because he's the one who offered this as the hekesh. I'm Rav Yonah. If you take a look, we're going to continue now in the Gemara Nundala Amud Beis, from the very top. So the Gemara says, "El Amar Rav Yonah v'Item Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Makra Ki Kol Asher Yaseh Mikol Atoivos Ha'Elav V'Nichrasu Nefashos Asos Hukshu Kol Arayos Kulon L'Nida." Every one of the Arayos is connected to Nida. Ma Nida Beha'ara Av Kol Beha'ara. So just like by Nida, partial penetration is considered Bia. So that's true by all the other Arayos as well. Ve'El Nida Diksivigah Beisha Eisha Tachlamali. So now the Gemara says, "Fine. Now that that's true, so let's now work backwards." Because if you remember yesterday, the Gemara, I gave you the short answer of how we know that Ha'ara is considered Bia. The Gemara yesterday did not take us through the short answer. The Gemara took us through a long answer. Because the Gemara noted that maybe the halach is generated by a series of other references in Psukim in the Parsha of Arayos. So for example, when the Torah talks about Eshesach, so the Torah describes her as being a Nida, which the Gemara yesterday said, why? Why would the Torah do that? So the Gemara tried to come to a conclusion that, well, you know that Nida, partial penetration, is considered Bia, same thing is true by Eshesach. But now we don't need that, because now we have the Hekesh. So why do we have the Pasuk telling me that the Eshesach is considered like a Nida? That's the Gemara's question. Let's see the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, it's coming to teach me the halacha of Rav Huna. What is the halacha of Rav Huna? Amar Rav Huna, remez leivamim in the Torah minayin. How do I know? Where's the allusion for Yibum in the Torah? The Gemara says, what? What do you mean allusion to Yibum? The Torah doesn't allude to Yibum. The Torah teaches us the mitzvah of Yibum. So minayin haksiv yivam yivam aleha. That's exactly the Gemara's next point, which is a pasuk. So Ella Remizli Yavamasha Asura Bechayabalaminain. How do I know that the Yavam is going to be prohibited while the brother's still alive? Meaning she's an erva. So Hai Svarihi, Midam Rahman Lachamisas Balashaya. So the Gemara says, well, seems to be pretty logical. The only time that that she becomes permitted is when the brother dies. So logically that would indicate that while the brother's still alive, she's usher. Lechada b'chayy b'al asura. V'dilma, the Gemara says, okay, but that argument, even though it's a good argument, it's not compelling. V'dilma l'achem, he says, b'al mitzvah b'chayy b'al rishus. So the Gemara says, here's some other arguments we can make. We can make an argument that when the brother's dead, so there's a mitzvah to marry the sister-in-law. But maybe when the brother's alive, maybe there's no mitzvah, but there's also, it's a rishus, it's permissible. Mind you, by the way, I'm sure everyone understands, not while she's married to your brother. She's then, at that point in time, considered an ishus ish. Obviously, we're talking about where the marriage was terminated. And, well, again, right now we're just making arguments. In other words, the Gemara is just presenting arguments. It's just simply saying, there's nothing compelling to tell me that just because she's permitted after he's dead means that she's also while he's alive. We're going to construct a whole bunch of other arguments. Inami, the Gemara says, I'll give another argument. La'achem, he says, Bala in b'chaye ba'alom. After the death of the brother, she's permitted. So we could argue that, okay, that while your brother's alive, she's usher. But what is that? That is a negative prohibition generated from a positive commandment. Lava ba mechlal asay. Lava ba mechlal asay. So that means then that the extent of the prohibition is only that it's a positive commandment. Okay, so it means it's not a negative prohibition. Nafkamina would be for mamzerus, for example, meaning that if a man has relations with a sister-in-law, the child would not be a mamzer. Again, we're just arguing. We're arguing right now that maybe Eishas Ach is not one of the Arayos. Amarkav Isha Sher Yikachas Eishas Achiv Nidahi. So the Gemara says that's what the pasuk is trying to teach us by describing her as a Nida. And the Gemara says V'chi Eishas Achiv Nidahi. Now, she could be a Nida, but why would the Torah describe her as qualitatively, or in other words, as a status, she's a Nida? So Ella Kinida. So it must be there for the purposes of analogy. My Nida Afa Pishesh La Hetalachimikan Bishai Surah Bikares Afeshach Nami Afa Pishesh La Hetalachimikan Bechayabala Bikares. So the Gemara says that the comparison, the analogy goes like this. Anida right now, while she's Anida, is an Issacharis. A man has relations with his wife who's menstruating, that's an Issacharis. Same thing is true regarding Eishasach. When I say same thing, I mean that it's. And I'm sorry. Before I bridge the analogy, let's go back to Nida. And when a Nida finishes her Nida and she tovels in the mikvah, she's totally mutaris to her husband. So in other words, you go from Mr. Kares to Heter Gamor. So the Gemara says now that's the analogy that we're going to go to Eishasach. Eishasach, she will become mutar again if the brother dies and the brother dies childless, but she will become mutter. Okay, but just like Nida, after the heter, it's heter gamor, but before the heter, it's an isakares. Same thing with Eishasach. After the heter, it's heter gamor, but before the heter, it's isakares. Meaning that while the brother's still alive, it's an isakares. Okay, good. So that's why the Torah describes the Eishasach as being a Nida. So we get to learn that even though the Torah is matir, but before the heter, it's an isakaris. Next. El haradiksiva gabe achosa v'achoseim lamali. So the Gemara says there's another place in the Torah where it describes ha'ara, partial penetration, and that is by one's aunt. And again, once you know the hekesh, you no longer need these psukim. So why? Why does the Torah then have to go out of its way to tell me that by one's aunt, there is ha'ara is considered bia? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, there are going to be other areas in halacha where I might have thought otherwise. So for example, Mishkav Zachar. So the Gemara says, what if you do ma'ara, partial penetration, by Mishkav Zachar? Ma'o bezachar mishkav e'ishak siva. So the Gemara says, that shouldn't even be a question. The Torah, when describing Mishkav Zachar, describes it as Mishkav e'isha. So that means then that whatever qualifies by bia by a woman should be qualifies bia by a man as well, and that would include ha'ara. Ela ma'ara be'behema ma'o. So the Gemara says, okay, what about ma'ara when it comes to behema? So are we going to say also that that qualifies as the Isser. So Amalei, Menu Inyan Lahara, Dixiva Gabe Achosa, Vachosem, Dasya Beakesha, Mid Rabbi Yona, Teneo Inyan Lahara, De Behema. So the Gemara says, okay, good, exactly. So in other words, we have a superfluous Ha'ara, the one mentioned by Achos Av and Achosem is unnecessary because of the Hekesha Rabbi Yona. So now that I have an extraneous Ha'ara, so the Gemara says we're going to apply it to Mishka Behema. So the Gemara says, Mechti Behema Chavimis was based in it. So the Gemara says, oh, I'm not sure if you could do that, because it's a cut and paste. We're taking the Hara away from Achos Ish, from Achos Av and Achosem, and we're applying it to Mishka Behema, but it's may not be a fair application. Mishka Behema is a capital crime. So Misa's based in Hain. And meanwhile, one's aunt is not a capital crime. It's an Issachares. So the Gemara says, if the Torah wanted to generate a halacha to Mishkav Behema, it should have had the ha'ara. I mean, I guess it'd be best if it had the ha'ara, the pasuk of ha'ara by Mishkav Behema itself. Okay, but shouldn't it at least have it by something with which is analogous, something which is a capital crime? Benel of Mises based in me, Mises based in. So I did the kule kra ledrasha. I'll say ksi be nami hamilsa ledrasha. So the Gemara says, well, since the entire bus pasuk is meant for the purposes of drasha, so too over here it's meant for the purpose of drasha. Meaning, you're right, it's not perfectly analogous, but since the entire pasuk, we'll get to the pasuk in just a moment, but since the entire pasuk is for the purpose of drasha, so therefore we are entitled, even though we're jumping from an Issachares up to a Mises Beis Din, we are entitled to learn this pasuk to teach us that even by Mishka Behema, Ha'ara does in fact qualify as Bia. Let's ask a really simple question at this point in time in the Gemara. Meaning, right now the Gemara is telling us that Ha'ara is considered Bia. Okay, I know it's still continuation from yesterday's stuff, but really that's the entire point. I mean, the whole point of the Gemara is that the definition of Bia is it doesn't have to be a full penetration, it only needs to be partial. Fine. And then the Gemara says, and I have a couple of extra Ha'aras mentioned in the Torah. Why? To cover some of the other more questionable Arayas. Not questionable, but doesn't fit in with the others. Most of the Arayas apply to women, but there's one Erva that applies to a man, Mishkav Zachar, and there's another one that applies to animals, Mishkav Behema. And those extra Ha'aras may be covering those as well. Let's ask a really simple question. We have a Hekesh or Rabbi Yonah. The Hekesh or Rabbi Yonah tells us that anything mentioned above, meaning you go to the end of Perek Yud Ches, and basically anything mentioned above is lumped together with one stroke, with one Hekesh, which means that whatever is included in the list is subject to the rules of what is and what isn't Bia. Why would the Gemara have thought that maybe there'd be a different set of rules for Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema? Not my question, Tosus's question. You can see Tosus inside. B'Zachar Maurus, the second Tosus on the Amud. Hada lo yalev Zachar u'behema me'ekesh ad Rabbi Yona. Why not learn that from the Hekesh? So Mishum. So Tosus gives a whole series of answers. Let's see the answer. It's a short Tosus. Des Makar Eraksiv v'ana lo shaykh b'hu Makor. So maybe it could be that the Ha'ara is connected to Makor, meaning that you need to have the anatomy of a woman in order to have these halachas of Ha'ara. And Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema don't. And so that's why, again, as a Havamina, it could be then that the definition of Bia may change. That's number one. Tosa says, Va'o da'afsekinu b'kra da'molach. The Gemara says, or maybe for another reason. This one's interesting. At least it was interesting to me. Tosa says, maybe for another reason, I would not have thought to have included Mishkav Zachor and Mishkav Behema in the list, in the Hekesh, because look what happens. In Amin Achrimos, and the Torah gives us all the Arayos, starting at the beginning of Perek Yud Ches, going all the way to the end of the Perek. So, I'm not going to go through all the Arayos right now, take a look inside, but then get to Pasuk Chaf in the Perek. Elishas Amitachalos Yitin Shachavas Chalas Zara. Okay, not a married woman. Okay, good. And then pasuk chav aleph. Umizara chalos siten laavir lamolech. Velo sechal l'shem elokecha ani Hashem. And don't give your child over to Molech. What is that? That's idolatry. What's it doing there? So, by the way, in general, that's a great question. Meaning, what is it doing there? I don't have a good answer right now. Okay, but it's there. And then what happens after that? Then the Torah tells us about Mishkav Zachar. And then we call Behema. And then the Torah tells us about Mishkav Behema. Oh, Toso says, I might have thought that the Molech served as a separation. Meaning there's all the Arayos pre-Molech, and then there's all the Arayos post-Molech. And maybe, and again, I don't know why Molech is there, but Toso says, as a Havamina, maybe the Hekesh only talks about the things pre-Molech, but not post-Molech.
What do you mean post-Molech?
Meaning, the Pasuk that describes over here, don't... Yeah, right. Anything that comes after, that's right. Yes, that's what I mean. I mean, I agreed.
One explanation I heard about Moloch being here was that the offspring from all these relationships may not be an accepted offspring, but even if they're not acceptable, you should not just ignore them and let them go into Moloch.
Okay, very good. I like that. Okay. So the just finishing up. I'm sorry. Or the Gemara says that I would need a special limud of ha'ara when it comes to Mishkav Zachar and Mishkav Behema, because we don't call that bia, meaning it. And anatomically, it may be bia, but halachically, legally, it doesn't qualify as a bia. Tosfos says, I'll give you excellent evidence that this is in fact so. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which outlines all the isurim of Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema, connecting it to Psukim. So when it comes to any one of the arayas that include man and woman, so there's no additional limud for the man and the woman. Meaning, when the Torah talks about erva, it obviously, by definition, includes both, meaning that the act itself, by definition, includes both partners. And so therefore, they're both subject to whatever punishment the Torah mandates. When it comes to Mishkav Zachor, the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives us a drasha for both participants in the act of Mishkav Zachor. Why? Doesn't the act itself automatically connect them? And the answer is no, but not necessarily. So that's why, once again, the Havamina would have been that maybe Ha'ara isn't the definition of Bia as it relates to Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema, because it doesn't necessarily qualify as Bia. Okay? Good. So, just again, simple question and answer, but really good in terms of why did the Gemara not just simply assume that Mishkav Behema, Mishkav Zachar is included in the Hekesh of Rebbe Yonah. Let's go back to the Gemara, let's continue. My drasha. Okay, the Gemara says, you know, this pasuk is meant entirely for drasha. First of all, let's identify the pasuk that the Gemara is talking about right now. So, the pasuk that is totally open for drasha is in Perek Chaf. Arayas is mentioned twice, as we said already a number of times. It's mentioned in Achrimos, it's mentioned again in Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Kedoshim, you're going to find it in Perek Chaf, where the Torah goes over all the Arayos a second time. And as we pointed out already, the reason why is because in Parshas Kedoshim, not only does the Torah tell us the Arayos, it tells us a punishment. Okay. Perek Chav Pasuk Yates. Ervas achos imacha, ve'achos avicha, lo segale. So the erva of your mother's sister or your father's sister, what we would call your aunt, so lo segale, can't reveal, ki esheiro ha'ara, it's a relative that you were ha'ara. Again, that's a reference to partial penetration. Avonam yisau. And you have to bear the sin. Okay. Gemara now is going to explain that entire pasuk is superfluous. So the Gemara here first quotes the pasuk going back in Parshas Achrimos. It says, your father's sister. Now when we're saying your father's sister, it does not matter whether it's your father's paternal or maternal sister. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe it's only a reference to your father's paternal sister. Meaning, your aunt and your father only share a father, but not a mother. Maybe that would be the case. Vidinu. And the Gemara says, if you think about it, it actually makes sense that it should be only your father's paternal sister. Why? Because Chayakam v'chay b'achosam. Ma'achosam b'in mena b'in mena aim. Afkan b'in mena b'in mena aim. I'm sorry, I preempted. The Gemara right now is going to argue that it shouldn't matter. That when we say that an aunt is an erva, it means whether it's paternal or maternal. Because when we talk about your own sister, so it doesn't matter whether it's paternal or maternal. A sister, one sister is an erva. We discussed this already earlier in the Masechta. We dedicated almost a daf of Yavamas earlier to make the point that when it comes to your own sister, it doesn't matter whether it's maternal or paternal. As long as you share one parent, she's an erva. So the same thing should be true regarding your aunt. Meaning your father's sister, it shouldn't matter. Oklach lederech zu. Or the Gemara says, or let's argue the other direction. That it should only be an aunt which is a paternal. Meaning she and your father share, or she and your mother share a father, not a mother. Because, chayev kam v'chayev b'dodoso. Because remember, we talked about this earlier in Masechta, back in Daf Chaf and Chaf Aleph. When it comes to your uncle's wife, interestingly, when it's your uncle's wife, she's only an erva min haTorah, only if it's a paternal uncle. Meaning that your uncle and your father share a father. But not, I mean, could be and a mother as well, but there has to be a father there being shared between the two. Mado daso mina avala mina aim, avka mina avala mina aim. So when it comes to your uncle's wife, it has to be a paternal uncle. So maybe when it comes to your aunt, same thing. Has to be a paternal aunt. So nira lemidoma. So the Gemara says, well, let's see which ones it's more comparable to. Danim iser haba me'elav mister haba levat ochechto daso shein iser haba me'elav. On one hand, better comparison to compare your aunt to your sister, because they happen, I'd say organically. Although, in of itself, that doesn't make sense. It just simply means that you don't need kiddushin. Meaning, they're family, they're mishpacha, without any kiddushin. So, oklach l'derech zu, danin k'rovei av, mikrovei av, al tocheach achos, toshe k'rovei atzmo. On the other hand, it's better comparison to compare your aunt to your uncle, because your aunt and your uncle are prohibited to you because of your father. Your sister's prohibited to you because of you. Okay, so Tamalamar, so the Gemara says, okay, simply put, we can make arguments in either direction. So Tamalamar, Ervas Achos Avicha Lo Segaleh, Bein Menav, Bein Menaim. So that's why now I have the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshin, Ervas Achos Avicha Lo Segaleh, and that comes to tell me whether it is maternal or paternal. So So the Gemara says, okay, but then as long as we're saying that this entire pasuk is extraneous, so what do you do with the beginning of that pasuk? Again, Perichav pasuk yates. So the Gemara says, the mechtavei, I'm sorry, lamali lamechtavei b'achos av, lamali lamechtavei b'achos aim. Why does the Torah have to repeat that this is true for both your father's sister and your mother's sister? That it doesn't matter whether it's paternal or maternal. Am Rabbi Abbahu Tzricha. So Rabbi Abbahu says that it's necessary. So the Gemara says, on one hand, if the Torah only told me about Achosav, I may not have then extrapolated to Achosim. Because Achosav, there's Chayas. There's a lineage. Achosim, there's no Chayas, there's no lineage. Our lineages, our Yiddishkeit is determined by our mother. But our lineage is determined by the father. So therefore, I might have thought that when it comes to your father's sister, it doesn't matter whether it's maternal or paternal. Because of Rachman Abachos Em Shekein Vadayis. Ava Achosav Em Alot Tzricha. And on the other hand, if all I had was your mother's sister, well, you know your mother's your mother. There's no question about that. Right? Gestation, 9 months, delivery. Okay, I understand you don't remember, but other people for sure can identify you as being the son of that woman. Good. When it comes to your father, we're pretty sure. Although you can't be 100% sure. Right, the Gemara elsewhere. Zechulin? Okay, I don't, you'll forgive me, I don't remember. But the Gemara elsewhere asks some basic questions. We know the Torah says you hate your father, right, and you cause a wound, so it's a capital crime. You're chayv misa. Right, the Gemara elsewhere says, how do you know it's your father? It's probably your father, but how do you know for sure? Okay, so the answer is Rov, Chazaka, meaning, right, the Torah allows us to make certain presumptions and assumptions. But, okay, the Gemara says, as a Havamina, I might have thought that just because the Torah tells us that your mother's sister is an Erva, I might have thought that your father's sister may not have been included, because again, mother's vadais and father is not a super vadai. Okay. Anyway, so tzricha. So therefore, the Gemara says that's why the Torah has to spell out both in perichov pasuk yitess. Okay. Dodaso dipshita letana deminavala menei menale. Gemara says, can we just go back for a second? The Braisa previously made an assumption, which we know is true, but how do we know that? That when it comes to your uncle's wife, she's only an erva to you min haTorah, only if it is your father's brother, that where they share the same father. It's a paternal brother, but not a maternal brother. Right? And you remember back in Daf Chaf, the Gemara there told us that what if it's your uncle, where your uncle and your father only share a mother, not a father? So that's one of the shniyos. That's one of the secondary rabbinic arayos. But it's not an erva min haTorah. Anyway, but how do we know that? So Amalei Rava Asya Dodo Dodo. So Rava says it's learned through a drasha. Sivacha Ervas Dodo Gila. It says your uncle's wife. And Uksiv Hasamo Dodo Ben Dodo Yigalenu. And then jump ahead 5 prakim later in Sefer Vayikra. Go to Parshas Bahar. And what does it say over there? Who's going to redeem you if you were sold into slavery? Either your uncle or your cousin. Malahala min avala min aim. So that's talking about your paternal uncle. I mean, again, when I say paternal, I mean it's your father's brother, where they share the same father. The Gemara says, okay, next question. How do you know that Parshas Bahar, we're talking about a paternal uncle? So the Gemara says, because in Parshas Bahar it says Mishpacha, and once again, when we say Mishpacha, we know we're talking about fathers, not mothers. The term Mishpacha is connected to father. Again, it's the idea of lineage, yichus, could be Yerusha is also part of this definition of Mishpacha, but again, it's Mishpacha. Okay. Good. That really ends yesterday's daf. Okay, not bad. About to begin today's daf. So far just established. I mean, a summary. It's very simple. That ha'ara, that a partial penetration, is considered bia, and that's true for isurim. It's also true for mitzvahs. It's true for isurim. All the arayos, ha'ara is going to be considered bia for all the arayos, and it's learned from the Hekesh Rabbi Yonah. And then it just led the question to wonder, why then does the Torah mention Ha'ara in a couple of select spots in the Parshas of Arayos? And that's, we cleaned up those loose ends. And then it's also going to be true for mitzvahs as well. When you do the mitzvah of Yibam, so, and you do Ha'ara, that is considered the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay. Ve'hadit nun. We are on the bottom of Nun Dalar Amud Beis, and the Gemara now is going to quote a Mishnah later on. The Mishnah later on is obviously conceptual. It's not going to be practical, but it describes the following scenario. A man marries 5 sisters. Okay. Now, first of all, you're not allowed to marry 2 sisters. Once again, I'll get to mention this week's Parsha. Okay, Yaakov Avinu did. Fine. But it's an Erva, and Yaakov Avinu lived prior to Man Torah. Okay, and I already quoted yesterday the Ramban, who addresses this issue. But anyway, Yaakov Avinu, the case over here is where a man marries 5 sisters. Why would he do that? So either A, he's an Avaryan, or B, he got misinformation. We're going to go over here with option B, he got misinformation. So he marries one woman, it's reported that she dies, he then marries her sister. Reported that she dies, then marries the next sister, and he keeps doing that 5 sisters in. Just to make the case slightly more complicated, we're going to describe a scenario in which the relationship between sister A and B is paternal. The relationship between sister B and C is maternal. The relationship between C and D is paternal. And the relationship between D and E is maternal. Okay? So in other words, A, C, and E are stepsisters. Okay? If you see it laid out, it makes perfect sense. So Amar lo meisi ishtecha v'nasa achoso. So the Mishnah over there describes. So someone told them your wife died, okay, and he believed them, and okay.
But they say you're not really stepsisters. They don't have any parents in common, do they?
Correct. That's why I say step. Steps. That's exactly.
That means that they have like one in common. No?
And in colloquial language, I believe that a step sibling is somebody you do not share a parent with. So you were told that the sister dies. I'm sorry, that your wife dies, so you married her sister. I'm sorry, Me'aviha. Okay, and it was a paternal sister. And then you were told that that B dies, and so you marry a maternal sister. Where again, now A and C do not share a parent. And we're just going to do this now for D and E. So again, A and B are sisters. B and C are sisters. C and D are sisters. D and E are sisters. But because we're going to keep going paternal, maternal, paternal, maternal, so A, C, and E do not share any parents. So now, what happens? Good news, just give me a moment. Good news, bad news. Good news is nobody died. He was totally misinformed. Bad news is they're all there, and now he's looking at his five wives. Now, they're not all of his wives. B and D are not his wives. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. Right? He can't, in other words, as long as A was alive, so that means that there's no tefisas kedushin with B. So therefore, they're not married. C, a perfectly legitimate wife, because C and A don't share a parent. Now that C is actually his wife, so that means then that whatever he did to D, meaning the kedushin he tried to effect, was ineffective. Good. So he's not really married to wife, to sister number four. So now you go to E, right, the fifth. Wonderful. Mazel tov. They're married. Because E and C don't share a single parent. And mutter, berishona, uveshlishis, uvechamishis. So the marriage between 1, 3, and 5 is a perfectly bona fide marriage. Upocho sarasayam, to the point in which if he were to die childless and the Yavam does bia or chalitza with wives 1 or 3 or 5, obviously you only need to do it with one of them, so that is the mitzvah of Yibam is accomplished, all the other co-wives can now go free. Asr b'shnei v'raviz, he's prohibited to wife number 2 or 4, or just to simply say better and clear, they're not his wives, and therefore v'ein bias achas man poter tzarasa. If there were a Yibam opportunity, they are not candidates for Yibam, as they were not the wives. And then the Gemara says, if we just were to change one variable, and that is, let's say wife number one was reported to have died, and actually did die. Okay? And now we go through the same sequence, but here, wife number one actually dead. When in fact, it was reported that she died. So then, we're going to now have 2, 3, and 4, but here, the marriage to 2 is bona fide, because wife 1 is actually dead. And then number 3 is a sister of 2, not a marriage. 4 is not related at all to number 2, neither through a mother nor through a father. So the marriage to number 4 is legit. And then number 5 is a sister to number 4, so not a marriage. So all we need to do is just change one variable, and it shifts from 1, 3, and 5 to 2 and 4. Good. Why are we learning this Mishnah now? Meaning it's wonderful. And we're going to see this Mishnah later on. But let's ask the obvious question. It's a Mishnah. What does it have to do with us? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, did I finish reading it? Top of Nun Hei, Amud Aleph. Amud, Achos Ishto, Bein Mina'av, Bein Mina'im, Asuros, Minalan. When it comes to your wife's sister, it is clear from that Mishnah, meaning it's one of the assumptions that went into the Mishnah, that your wife's sister is going to be prohibited to you, whether it's a maternal sibling or a paternal sibling. And the Gemara question over here is really simple. Minalan. Well, how do we know that? Yalef me achoso. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it from your sister. Your sister is prohibited to you, and it does not matter whether your sister is paternal or maternal. Same thing is true with your wife's sister. So the Gemara says, let's go back to the uncle, where we know that your uncle's wife is prohibited to you, but it has to be a paternal uncle, not a maternal uncle. Why not set that as a precedent? So the Gemara says it makes more sense to learn from your sister, because that's Krovas Hatzmo. She's an Erev as a result of you. Same thing with your wife's sister. She's an Erev as a result of you. Adarabah. midodasav alamesh came davar al yedei kiddushin midavish al yedei kiddushin. So the Gemara says, I would argue the other way, that your wife's sister is more comparable to your uncle's wife because both of those arayos are generated by a kiddushin. So the Gemara says, so what are we going to learn from? We're going to go to option C, right? None of the above. Meaning we're not going to learn it from Dodaso, we're not going to learn it from Achoso, but rather we're going to learn it from Eshesach, your brother's wife. Your brother's wife is prohibited to you, and it does not matter whether it's a maternal or a paternal brother. Remember, we learned earlier in the Masechta, for the mitzvah of Yibum, it has to be a paternal brother. But for the Erva, it could be either a maternal or a paternal. And so therefore, if it's Eshes Ach, it's maternal or paternal, Achos Isha also is not going to matter whether it's a paternal sibling or a maternal sibling. Only begs the next question. Eshes Ach Gufa Minalan. Talk about a run-on sentence in a Gemara, meaning that everything here is totally interconnected, meaning that we started the discussion of after finishing the Ha'ara discussion, we went to your wife's sister, we go to your uncle, we now go to your sister, and now we go to your brother's wife, and by brother's wife, it does not matter whether it is maternal or paternal. How do I know that that's true? That for Eshesach, it does not matter whether it's maternal or paternal. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Erevas Eshesach Ichalos Segala. Here's a pasuk in Achrimos that describes the erva of your brother's wife. Beimena, Beimenaim. The Gemara assumes it's talking about a paternal or a maternal sibling. Atomer Beimena, Beimenaim, Oino Alamina, Velaminaim, Vidinu. And once again, the Gemara says we can make arguments. Chayev Kan Vechayev Achos, Amachos, Beimena, Beimenaim, Avkan, Beimena, Beimenaim. When it comes to your sister, it does not matter whether it's paternal or maternal. When it comes to your brother's wife, it does not matter whether it's your paternal or maternal brother. Or the Gemara says we can go up to your uncle. Right? The uncle always becomes the problem. Because the uncle is only an erva if it's a paternal uncle. So the Gemara says, which one is it more comparable to? On one hand, your brother's wife is more connected to you because your brother's is on your generation. So, but your uncle, on the other hand, that's your father's generation. On the other hand, your brother's wife is an erva generated through marriage. Your brother married her. Your uncle's wife is generated through marriage. Your sister is an erva that is not necessarily generated through marriage. So So the Gemara says that's why the Torah has to repeat ervas achichahi. That pasuk, that part of the pasuk is totally superfluous. She is your brother's erva. You look at the beginning of the pasuk, that's exactly what it said in the beginning. Ervas eishes achicha lo segala. So why does it repeat that at the end? To tell me that regarding the erva of eishes ach, it doesn't matter whether it is mina'av or mina'im. Your brother through a father, your brother through a mother, his wife is an erva to you. The ema. The Gemara says, well, maybe what we could suggest is the following. That both of them are referring to a paternal brother. Chada, diyesh labanim b'chaye bala, v'chada de'in labanim b'chaye bala. And maybe the Torah has to repeat itself to tell me that she, the wife of your brother, is an erva to you whether your brother did or did not have children. Now, this confused me, and so it took me a while to get this clear, but I think I got it, and let's clarify for everybody. We're not talking about where your brother died. When your brother died, that's called the mitzvah of Yibum. We're talking about Eishes Ach while the brother's still alive. And what the Gemara is suggesting now is that I need two psukim. One to tell me that the brother's wife is an erva if there's children, and one to tell me that there's an erva when there are no children, as long as the brother's alive. Once the brother's dead and there was no children, Yibum. Right? We're not talking about Yibam. We're talking about the Erva. And if this is true, what we're saying, so then the question of how do you know that Eshazach is true by a maternal brother is now unanswered. Now, you know the answer is it's an Erva. But at this point now in this argument, it's unanswered. Because now the two psukim are going to be describing the brother's wife. It's paternal. And I need it for two scenarios, with or without children. The Gemara says, wait a second. If there are no children, remember, beginning of today's shiur, Rav Huna, why does the Torah describe her as a nida? Right? Remember that question? And the answer was, well, right, while the husband's alive, she's prohibited. So we already know it from Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, okay, but I still have another way of explaining why there are two phrases in the pasuk. Again, let's assume that we're only talking about your paternal brother, your paternal brother's wife, one to tell me that she's an erva while your brother's alive, and a second time to tell me that she's an erva after your brother has died, when there was children. Maybe that's why I have the double phrase. Yesh labanim la'achem isis bala l'psichokra. Midamar achmane she'in labanim uteres, ha'yesh labanim asura. Gemara says, I don't need a special pasuk. I have something called the mitzvah of Yibum. What does the mitzvah of Yibum teach me? Two things. That if your brother died childless, his wife is mutter. And by definition, what does that mean? By inference, it means that if he died with children, so then the wife is aser. So I don't need a special drasha to tell me that if your brother died with children, his wife is aser. The mitzvah of Yibum spells it out. I don't know. Maybe one can argue that if the brother died without children, maybe she's only permitted to the Yibum and to nobody else. If the brother died with children, maybe she is available to everybody, including the brother. Inami, ein labanim mitzvah, yesh labanim rishus. Or maybe you could argue that if your brother died without children, it's a mitzvah. If your brother died with children, so maybe there's no mitzvah, but maybe you can opt into a marriage. Inami ein labanim ein labanim ein. In yesh labanim lo v'lava b'machlas se'ase. Or maybe you can make the argument that, look, maybe you're right. Maybe that if your brother died without children, it's a mitzvah. Maybe if your brother died with children, it's an avera. But what kind of avera are we talking about? Lava b'machlas se. Once again, it's a negative prohibition generated from a positive commandment. So it doesn't have the same status as an erva. So kasa krachrina. So the Gemara says, to speak to that idea, that when your brother dies and there was children, that his wife is an erva, for that we have another pasuk, ervas achiv gila. That we go to Parshas Achrimos, ervas achiv gila. That tells me that that one's brother's wife is an erva, even after the brother died, as long as they died with children. Ve'ema, the Gemara suggests, eishes ach mina em ke eishes ach mina av. Gemara says, how about this? Let's make the suggestion that if a paternal brother dies without children, his wife is muteris. That's called the mitzvah of Yibum. Maybe we could argue, what if it's a maternal brother and he dies? Maybe his wife is muteris then as well. Amakra, he. So the Gemara says, no, ervas achov gila, I'm sorry, the word he is coming to teach me that she is in a constant state of erva. Her status never changed. She never will become a muteris. Achov said to Kasa Bakaris family. So the Gemara now is bothered. Rashi points out, we're going all the way back to the beginning, meaning that we have now a Hekesh of Rabbi Yonah. The Hekesh of Rabbi Yonah has taught me that all the arayos are connected one to another. That means that I know that there's an Isser Kareis for every one of the Arayas. Gemara's question over here is, why does the Torah tell me by Achosa that it's an Isser Kareis? L'chad Rav Yochanan, Damar Rav Yochanan, Shimasim Kulam Be'alam Echad, Chayev Kol Achas V'Achas. Rav Yochanan says it's there to divide. Meaning that if a guy has Bia with all the Arayas, that we do not lump them all together with one Chiv Kareis, but rather it's going to be divided, you're going to be chai for every one of them. Now how many times can a man get kares? Once. I'm not sure. But Over here, we're obviously not talking about the Esther Kavis, we're talking about the Karban Chatas. Meaning that he didn't know that it was an erva, or he didn't know that the Torah prohibited it, so that's shogeg, so we have to bring a chatas for each one of them. Let's just finish up. Let's get to the two dots. So the Gemara says, but can we remember the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak? I don't know if we remember it, so let's remind each other. We know the third parak of Makos tells us that the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak is, he's a Tana, his shita is that when the Torah imposes kares, there is no Makos. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak. We paskin that even by Makom kares, there's Makos. Meaning if a man is about to have relations with a sister and two witnesses come over and warn him, you know the Torah prohibits that kind of activity. And he does it anyway, afa pikein, Makos. He's going to get Makos. Even though the Torah requires kares, it gives a punishment to kares, but Makos by Makom kares. If there are witnesses, then there's due process. When would you then get kares? When there are no witnesses. When there was no warning. When there was no due process. That's the accepted halacha. Rabbi Yitzchak over there in the Gemara in Malkus has an opinion, which is that no, that if the Torah imposes kares, kares is mutually exclusive from Malkus. There's no kares and Malkus. It's if kares, then no Malkus. So the Gemara is, and how did Rabbi Yitzchak know that? He actually got it from the pasuk of kares by Achoso. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, where does he know that all the arayos are separated one from the other? Lechalek minalan nafkala me the El Isha benidas tumasa. Learns it from the pasuk of El Isha benidas tumasa lechayev akol isha veisha. That tells me that every woman is separated one from the other, so that if a man has relations with every one of the women described in the arayos, he's chayev akol achas vaachas. Do daso dekasa baruch rachmana aririm yiyu lamali. Why does the Torah say that we're going back now to, we are in Parshas Kedoshim, Chaf Chaf. The Torah there describes that if a man has relations with his aunt, his uncle's wife, Ervas Dodo Gila Chatam Yisu Aririm Yamusu, he's going to die childless. Lama Li Lecha Deraba Deraba Rami Ksiv Aririm Yuyu Ksiv Aririm Yamusu. There seems to be somewhat of a discrepancy in the Pesukim regarding the childlessness. The state of childlessness. How can it be that you will be childless or the children, Rachman al-Aslam, will die? So Haketa Yesh Labanim Kovran. It means that if you already have children and you violated any of these Isuri Kares, the current children will die. Ein Labanim Holech Ariri. So, and if you have no children, you will go childless. So, sorry. The Itzarech and the Gemara says, and both these points are necessary. I might have thought that any children you had up to the point of the chet. But going from the chet going forward, maybe not. Meaning that the onish of aririm would only apply to children prior to the chet, not to after. And if it was only aririm yamusu, that refers to children that you will have after the chet. What about children you have before the chet? I might have thought that doesn't affect them as well. So therefore they're both necessary to tell me that the punishment of aririm for one who engages in arayos is going to affect both children before and after the chet. Okay. A lot. Okay, so tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. Ha'ara, we're back to the topic of Ha'ara. I already mentioned that earlier today. And we'll pick it up on Shabbos.